10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
And coming up in just seconds, the dirty secret of three-day weekends.
Are you staring at my breasts again?
And now, Dr. Dave. Look at this. It's 8 minutes past the hour, 8 minutes past the hour on the East Coast. Walter M. Sterling, my God, look at you. It's that time where you and I are up against the hardest time of the year.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year.
No, those are easy. You and I can go outside and experience Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's. Go to a church basement, a community center, walk down the street, look at the incredible windows in any downtown. But these holidays are the holiday hell. Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. These are the hard holidays. These are the holidays where you and I have to be invited in. We can't just walk into the barbecue. We have to be invited to the barbecue. I can't just go to your country club and play tennis with you. You have to invite me to your country club. Lord knows I'm not going to be a member of your country club. They have standards. It just wouldn't happen. And if I wanted to play golf, pickleball, racquetball, which is the same thing, by the way, any of the sports requires you to invite me to do it with you. To go down the shore, to go to the beach, there's nothing creepier than a 33-year-old man going to the beach alone. Very uncomfortable. Not fun. Everything requires twos and an invitation. That leads to an extraordinary sense of solitude, of loneliness for some people, but the joy of solitude for others. For me, example, to me, my wife gave me the greatest gift this weekend, and a couple times this year. She's in another city. She's 500 miles away. I have solitude. I have the gift of solitude, because as a misfit and an introvert, there's nothing I like more than thousands of hours alone. It recharges me, it refocuses me. I get to pay attention to what's important. But there's something bigger that happens on Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day. Something much bigger. Sunlight. And you know, both metaphorically and literally, sunlight exposes the truth. And the truth is not always pretty. The truth can be harsh, because maybe you were at the pool or on the beach or at the lake, backyard, barbecue, with some other friends in sunlight, in summer clothes, swimsuits. And there's a point at which during the day, probably around 3:30 when you've had 2.5 beers, that over there is your significant other. Wait, out of the corner of your eye, is that my significant other? Is that my boyfriend, girlfriend? And you can't tell for sure because they're a little too far away. And therefore, you're just looking at the silhouette of their body. You're just looking at their figure. And as they come closer, 2-3 feet, as they get closer, you realize that that is your significant other, but you couldn't recognize them immediately. Why was that? Why couldn't you recognize them immediately? Because that is not the person that you fell in like love with. The person you like loved with was 28 pounds ago. This is a different silhouette walking toward me. This is a different person walking toward me. And you try to reconcile what you actually see, reality of the sunlight, with the fantasy life that keeps you attached to them. There's a fantasy life that exists in anybody in a long-term relationship. And the fantasy life, no, not those fantasies, those different. The fantasies of when you met them. You were physically attracted to them when you met them. That was the first attraction. It was not that they were sparkling conversationalists. It was not that they were fancy dressers. It was their physicality that attracted you to them. And 8 years later, over there in the corner of your eye by the pool down the shore, that's not the fantasy person. That's not who I fell in like love with. That's not it. This is somebody different. And every step that person comes toward you, the harsh reality of the truth is stepping toward you. The reality of the truth is stepping toward you, and you have step after step after step the opportunity to reconcile the difference between your fantasy life and the reality, or the opportunity to reject it. At those moments, you can make a decision. Am I going to continue with this, or am I going to reject it because it's so different than what I fell in like love with? So different. That is why I promise you more people will file for divorce this week than at any other time. Maybe July 4th week. I'll bet you. That's easy to look up. I wonder if more people file for divorce in the beginning of the summer than at any other time of year, because the harsh light of the summer is on your significant other. And how's that going? How are they looking in that swimsuit next to the barbecue? Do you find it attractive for him to be in the Hawaiian shirt, the khaki shorts that are too dirty, the Crocs that are the wrong color? Is there a right color for Crocs? I don't think so. It's the light of the truth that shines upon your relationship today, this weekend. And then it gets better. Tomorrow, I'll tell you how to tell if your significant other feels the way you fear. If they're not so sure about sticking around after what they've seen this weekend in you. Do they decide they want to leave early? If the significant other says, you know, let's leave a little early and beat the traffic.
Are you staring at my breasts again?
That's a sure sign that they're thinking about it. They're reconsidering the relationship. The light of the sun brings the truth to your relationship. How you doing in those shorts? How are you looking in that swimsuit? Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's a live show on Sunday night. There's nothing else live. Everything else you've heard today was recorded on Thursday and repeated twice already because the station is lazy and it's inexcusable. This is a live radio show, and you should congratulate the people who run this station for putting Sterling every damn Sunday.
Now, John!
Did it hurt when you fell from the vending machine? Because you are a snack. Yum.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode, I explain how a dead man's body is not safe on the subway. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hello, I'm Walter Sterling.
A show is a show, as we all know. But there's one show on the radio that definitely does not blow. It's Sterling Every Damn Night. Turn on the show on your radio. You'll laugh so hard, you'll start to glow. They ought to pay him lots of dough. It's Sterling Every Damn Night. Dom Giordano yaks and wastes the time of day. But Walter Sterling never talks unless he has something to say. So grab some Merlot and put on the show. It won't interfere with your workflow. It's number one in Buffalo. It's Sterling.
Twenty-two past the hour, driving across the country, Route 80, I-90, the Luge, I-4 in Florida, on Michael Ewing's radio station. Yeah, Michael Ewing, Sebring, Florida. Great guy. Put on the show immediately because Michael Ewing and Jay Clark control that radio station in Sebring, Florida, and have common sense. They suffer from having common sense. If you had the opportunity to put on a not political live show on Sunday night, what would the hesitation be, Drew Anderson? What would the hesitation be?
Well, you know, it's something new.
Yeah, okay. I know, that's a good reason.
There it is. You know, that's what it is. That's what it is.
I have been cursed all my life. Maybe you have too. I have been cursed all my life with seeking new in my work. Programming radio stations, discovering, inventing the concept of influencers, that was a sell. And pretty much everything I do, I've been attracted to new. And to me, if it's new, that's half of the appeal. The minute I find out something's new, boom, that's appealing to me. That makes it interesting. I have never had the reaction that I've come to learn later in life that most people, many people, too many people, are afraid because it's new. They seek only the familiar. I seek only the familiar when it's life, when there are life issues, survival issues. Yeah, I'm going to go with the water that I trust. I'm going to go with the food that I trust. I'm not going to try a new brand of hot dog. It'll be Hebrew National. I'll be going with the Hebrew National hot dog. That's my go-to. I'm not going to try any new hot dogs. I want Taylor's ham. I'm not going to try some store brand of Taylor's ham. But in the workplace, the only way, and this is such a, it's so ridiculous I have to say this, but I've had to say it every day of my career. Every damn day of my career, I've had to say this. There's nothing more repulsive in the workplace than if somebody says to their manager, hey, let's try this. And the response is, who else is doing it? Where else is it being done? Who else is doing it? Who else is doing it? If somebody else is doing it, that makes it far less interesting, less valuable, less potent than if it's brand new. That's how I see it. Whenever you and I can drop something brand new into the workplace that might be viewed as disruptive, something that's disruptive, that's, to me, that's half its value. It's brand new, good. Let's go with that. In advertising, the two most powerful words in advertising are you and new. Advertising 101. You're in advertising 101. They're trying to teach you how to write a headline. The way they teach you how to write a headline is they say, now the two most powerful words in that headline are you and new. If you want anybody to read it or care about it, you need to put you and new in the headline. Well, why is that? Because those are sexy, attractive words. You put up a mirror and then you give them something exciting and different. You shock them out of their boredom. The dreariness of living in the Midwest. Oh, it's very nice there. No, it's not. It's very boring. That's the opportunity. I can't tell you how much of my life I have wasted trying to convince guys in suits anxious to go out and get their next drink that, you know, we should do this just because it's new. And there's a business reason for it. And the business reason is this. If you don't do anything new in your business, you will not grow. You cannot grow. You can have predictive growth. You can have a good, clean spreadsheet. No trouble. But if you want to grow the business, you have to put in new elements to attract new audiences and to keep the ones you've got. Because there's a delusion in business. A business that's doing really well gets a big share of the market. Everybody likes it. That audience is churning all the time. 10% of those people are still looking around across the street, what's going on over there, and they're going to be attracted to new. They're going to leave you. And if you don't give them something new all the time, ultimately, all of them will leave you. If you try new things, a couple things happen. One, it's good for morale. Two, you're going to get press and attention. That's how you keep your business going. The fastest way, the cheapest and most effective advertising is earned advertising, earned editorial. You get articles written about your business. You get articles in the newspaper. You've made trouble. That's how you get earned and credible advertising. That doesn't come from, well, we've had another spectacular quarter that was the same as the last five quarters. It's we have the same percent of profit as we did a year ago. No, it's not going to get you any press. It's not going to get you any attention, nor is it going to help you recruit and attract people to work for you who walk in with innovation and new ideas. This is the most remarkable audio that I have seen in weeks. I'm going to tell you what it is, and then you can listen to it. It's very short, but it's worth the trouble just because of what it is, which is unbelievable. This is a trumpet playing into a bowl of Jell-O. Ready? Here we go. Yes, I had to play it twice for you because who would believe it? Actual. Now, I've posted it on Facebook so you can show it to your friends. It is a graphic, stunning video of a real trumpet playing into a real bowl of Jell-O. Forget about how that sounds or what it is. Think about the brain that it took to bring the trumpet to the Jell-O. Think about that mind. Woke up, took a shower, maybe shaved, put on their makeup, maybe both, and said, you know, today what I'm going to do is make a video of my trumpet playing into a bowl of cherry Jell-O. I've posted it on the Walter Sterling Facebook page. The Walter Sterling Facebook page. You have to see it to believe it. I'm like, but again, it isn't so much the act as everything that led up to that. Was it a bad hangover? Trouble with the cat? Frustration at work? Or just darn something we had to do? Walter Sterling, every damn Sunday. Still, every damn night. You know, the pressure of doing a national radio show, Matthias, it must be difficult for you to manage what it takes to be on Sterling every damn Sunday. How do you deal with that?
Well, it's tough. You know, I've already been searching for a trumpet and Jell-O in the house, but I don't think I can master it with quite the same aplomb. And here I am thinking about... Yeah, it's there's nothing like it, is there? Nothing like it on any radio station on the world, on the globe.
Matthias, it's the thinking that went into it. The fact that he stuck a real trumpet into a bowl of red Jell-O, put aside all the symbolism. The fact that he did that, that there had to be thoughts before it happened. There had to be a chain of events and thinking that would lead him to consider the appeal of posting a video of a trumpet being played in a bowl of Jell-O. That's what always gets me. That's what always fascinates me about exotic behavior. Not the end result. Anybody could have come up with this, but not anybody could have thought of it.
Well, you know, it's like sound waves through water, except he wanted something more vastus, perhaps. I don't know. It's pretty clever and pretty interesting indeed, although I'm a little scarred, Walter, by the thought of sunlight affecting one's significant other and turning them into the insignificant other. This midnight misfit never goes out in the noonday sun. That's just for mad dogs and Englishmen.
No. And, you know, I'll tell you a secret of really successful executives. Listen to me, my fellow misfits, listen to me on this. After you have lunch with a very powerful person, I guarantee you that when you get up to leave, they will say, excuse me, I have to step into the men's room. Excuse me, I have to step into the woman's room. They are not going to let you see them in sunlight. I promise you that. Because the light in the restaurant is always flattering. A good restaurant's always going to be flattering. It's always going to be better than the outdoor light. They don't really want to walk down the street with you anyway. They're done with you. But mostly they need to maintain their mystique. Test me on this, ladies and gentlemen. You go to lunch with a dinner with a powerful person. At the end of it, they're going to say, excuse me, I have to go to the restroom. See you soon. They will not walk out with you.
Well, I spend my whole life in dark theaters. I don't know how successful I've become, but I do get to see a lot of movies in the dark. That's where I spend most of my time. And this week I saw probably one of the most exciting and anticipated movies of the month, if not the last few months, to open up the summer blockbuster season. But to my surprise, this movie, Mission Impossible, which is highly anticipated, this being the eighth Mission Impossible movie since they started a long time ago, is not exactly as great as the last one, episode number 7. I was a little surprised, and looking at the numbers right now, Walter, Lilo and Stitch, the remake of the 2002 Lilo and Stitch, has made $146 million. And here's Mission Impossible with the biggest movie star in the world, Tom Cruise, only $63 million, which is not a bad only. Let's say it, $63 million is a lot of dollars for one weekend. But just blown out of the water by Lilo and Stitch this weekend, which surprised me. I thought Tom Cruise doing his own stunts, hanging from the side of a biplane, would bring more people in. And let me tell you, those sequences are really great. I think those sequences are actually probably the best biplane scenes in a movie since an old movie from the 70s, Capricorn 1, which had a similar biplane kind of thing with a real guy hanging on it. But I got to give it to Tom Cruise at his age, hanging onto the side of the plane like that.
I give him, at his age, hanging on to the side of Ana de Armas. I mean, that's the real achievement there, Tommy. She's 38, and her last boyfriend was the vice president of Cuba. And now, here she is with Tom, a 18-time divorcee. But here's my question. Could it be that Lilo and Stitch has the appeal, the ability to, you could bring a kid of any age, whereas you can't bring a kid of any age to see Mission Impossible 4?
Sure, that's true. And, you know, you've got an extra day to see it with Memorial Day tomorrow, although most of my pals are remembering the fine folks that gave their lives so we can go to movies every day of the year tomorrow, which is a little bit more solemn for me, but a lot of people think barbecues and going to the movies, and that's fun if you take a moment to remember that we're darn lucky to be able to do that in this country. But having said that, you're absolutely right. I mean, you can take a kid to that.
Who is the female lead in Mission Impossible?
Oh, she's quite sexy, and I'm quite fond of her, and her name just went, Haley Atwell. Huh? Haley Atwell playing Grace. Got she it. Was in Captain America, First Avenger.
Did you see Lilo and Stitch? Did you see it?
I haven't seen it. That was while I was in the hospital recently, and I couldn't be two places at once. I had seen the original one, and of course, Chris Sanders, who directed the original one and was the voice of Stitch, reprises his voice work as Stitch in this new Disney version, and evidently it's quite good. He's a very nice man. I met him about a year ago, when he made The Wild Robot, which was nominated by the Critics' Choice Association as the best animated film, but didn't quite make it to the Oscars.
Tell me a thing or two about Mission Impossible that you like that would make me want to go see it.
Well, the aerial sequences are truly thrilling, and especially in an IMAX presentation, because this is both in IMAX and in regular theaters, it really is quite hair-raising. It is thrilling to watch. It's like, you know, he's just sitting there on a biplane strut and doing literally somersaults as the plane is doing cartwheels and everything else, rolling over and over again, and barrel rolls, I think they're actually called, not cartwheels. And it's spectacular. He's sitting there hanging on. They've got a camera on there, and it's really him. It's not a stunt double. So, I mean, that's really thrilling, because here's a guy who's worth millions of dollars. He does it himself, and I think there's some attraction in that. Now, the movie's plot is that of the fact that there is this horrible AI called the Entity that's going to make all of the nuclear devices all over the world go off. They are controlled by Esai Morales, who's a fine Mexican actor, and he's chasing him all over the place to get the necessary elements to keep this from happening. That's all there's there. But some of the folks are returning from the last movie, Simon Pegg. He's quite funny. Ving Rhames, Holt McCallany, who's great. Shea Whigham, I loved him in Boardwalk Empire. Nick Offerman, Henry Cherney, and Angela Bassett plays the U.S. president. And she's a fine actress. I like to watch Angela because she's got a lot of screen presence. So, you know, aside from one or two elements that just weren't as good as the previous installment, I thought surely this was going to be the big hit this weekend. It doesn't appear to be, but folks that like big screen action, I think, are going to be riveted to their seats. I was, and I generally don't like this kind of movie, but it was pretty thrilling.
Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, our great film critic, reviewer, just for Sterling every damn Sunday. Now, I have one more question. Mateus, what are you going to review next week?
Oh, I don't know. I think we've got a couple of things. I was either going to do The Karate Kid 2, which screens Tuesday for press, but there's a couple of other things coming up, and I haven't seen the schedule yet. I like to be surprised.
I like it when you surprise, too. I like new things. Mateus, how do we discover you on Facebook? How do we get to see more of your stunning pictures and the pictures of your cars and your film reviews? What's your Facebook name?
It's Mateus Bombals Hollywood. That's spelled M-A-T-I-A-S B-O-M-B-A-L Hollywood, like the city. One more time, it's M-A-T-I-A-S B-O-M-B-A-L Hollywood, like the city, and I'd be happy to have you join me there for exciting pictures and fun movie facts.
You're a good reviewer, a good broadcaster, and a good friend. Thank you so much for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story that shows how out of control crime in New York City, specifically the subway, has gotten. So the other day, an autopsy on a corpse that was sexually violated on a lower Manhattan subway train, the ME's office was unable to determine how the man died during the sickening crime. The victim was already dead when an unidentified necrophiliac had sex with his corpse at the Whitehall Street station on April 8th. The victim's cause of death remains a mystery for now, but the ME's office is continuing to look into it. Investigators do not believe the two knew each other, sources added. Police are also looking to speak to a woman who's seen rummaging through the dead man's pockets after he became unconscious, according to police sources. This just goes to show you how New York City is just slid into the abyss, where you can't ride the train without being fondled, felt up, or robbed. This poor man died on a train. And to have his body defiled like that, it defies humanity. I remember as a precinct cop, I wasn't transit, but I was a precinct cop. And I remember sometimes I would get back from court early and this desk officer would say, do you want to take lost time, you know, dip into your comp time and go home for the day? Or do you want to go out on patrol? And I would say, you know what, give me a foot post. And what I would do is I would usually take a foot post along the subway line, the 1 of the 9 line. And what I would do is I'd go upstairs and I would hide over by the token booth clerk, and I would just kind of hang out and watch the turnstile. And I'd watch people jump this turnstile, and I'd grab them and handcuff them, and then I would do a warrant check. If they had a warrant, I would take them with me through the system. Or if they didn't have a warrant, I would write them a summons. But sometimes, you know, people that you're just grabbing for jumping the turnstile were wanted for bigger things or were carrying things they shouldn't. One time early in my career, a guy jumped the turnstile. He saw me jump back over the turnstile. It resulted in a foot pursuit. And when I caught him, he had over an ounce of marijuana on him. Another time I grabbed a guy for jumping the turnstile. He had a whole bunch of jewelry on him that he couldn't explain where he came from, and he was wanted for a series of burglaries in Manhattan. Everybody rides the train, and unfortunately criminals do, but what it looks like now is criminals are having a party in the New York City transit system. So hopefully the police commissioner, the NYPD, and the district attorneys can put their heads together and get something done, because it's not safe right now to ride the subway. So for more behind the scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction. And if you have a question for me, be sure to drop me a note at wolfhound728@gmail.com.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
I'm attracted to you, Camille.
It's okay. We're not animals. We don't always have to act on our attractions. I mean,
what would we do as friends?
Like Thelma and Louise, but without the guns.
Margaritas and Matlock. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night.
All right, it's 53 past the hour. 53 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling every Sunday night. Sterling on Sunday. Even you can remember that in your inebriated state. A radio show on Sunday night that's live on KFBK, WGAN, and Paul Vandenberg's radio station in Albany. It's a miracle that any of those high-profile executives would take this show. Listen to this. No, really, listen to this. Listen. Shazam won't tell you what that is. That is a trumpet, a real trumpet, being played into a bowl of cherry jello. That's all there is. That's a video that's been uploaded. I've put it on my Facebook page, Walter Sterling, no M, no middle name, just Walter Sterling, yes. I am fascinated not by the fact that there's a trumpet being played in a bowl of jello. I am fascinated by the fact that first I have to sit up. I am fascinated by the fact that somebody thought to do it. Who would think to do it? There are many wacky things we can do in our lives and in the day. But somebody had to think of, I'm going to take a real trumpet, an orchestra trumpet, stick it in a bowl of jello and blow into it and make a video of it and then post it. It's amazing. Because what did that take? It took getting the trumpet out, making the jello. This is a homemade bowl of jello. This isn't a deli jello. This is a homemade bowl of jello in one of those stainless steel bowls that you make jello in, even though you're supposed to put it in individual bowls. But because you're lazy, you put it into one big bowl. And then this guy blew a trumpet into it. And then he and his buddy, they laughed. They thought this was, like, really funny. I also happen to think it's really funny because this took thinking, planning, a decision. The other one that I saw once that was equally insane, there have been a number I've seen, but the one that struck me as the most insane. A couple years ago, somebody had a 20-pound fish, a fresh fish that had been caught off of the ocean, you know, a real fish in their car. And they decided to drive through a fast food window. I don't remember which brand it was, but a Wendy's. They drove through a Wendy's. The worker at Wendy's opened the window to take the order, and the person in the car took the 20-pound fish and just threw it into the Wendy's window and drove off. And like the trumpet in the jello, there had to be planning and thinking. I know I'm going to take my 20-pound marlin, 20-pound tuna, go to a Wendy's, wait for them to open the window, throw it into the Wendy's, and then drive off. these things don't just happen. There are brain farts that make things like playing a trumpet into Jell-O happen. It doesn't just randomly happen. These things have to be planned, considered, shot. Maybe he made many takes. Maybe this guy to do the playing the trumpet into Jell-O, maybe they did it many times. These are things to consider with me, Walter Sterling. Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
All right, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk about the most ridiculous divorce proceedings I have ever heard. But first, Dr. Dave Weather.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Oh, look at you. It's Memorial Day weekend. Nothing on the radio is live right now. Nothing on TV is live right now. Just me and you. You can become the media. Do you know that? Here's the phone number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. That's my phone number. That is the live line. When you call that number, you will go on the air live. Don't call up and talk to the screener and say, well, I just want to say, and then tell it to the screener. And then when the screener says, okay, so you're going to go on the air and tell it, no, I just wanted to go in and share that. I don't want to go on the air. Okay, then don't call. Do not waste our time. It's a radio show. And you have the gift, the rare gift of becoming the media. All that whining you do all day, oh, the media didn't tell us the truth about this. You can become the media and solve all of those problems at 855-839-1210. 839-1210. That's it. It's that easy. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling, and I have a web page. It's waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And moments ago, I was sharing about the fact that these are the hard holidays, not Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving. Those are easy. These are the hard holidays. You can't go outside and experience these holidays by walking by store windows the way you can the other holidays. You can't walk outside and hear the ambient excitement and the thrill of people getting drunk on New Year's Eve. No, there's none of that. These are quiet holidays. Yeah, I know about the July 4th. But other than that, these are quiet holidays that you and I have to be invited in to the club, the barbecue, the party, the pool, the beach. We have to be invited in. And as introverts, left-handed, flat-footed introverts, that is hard for us. I have never in my life been in maybe a non-relative. I don't think I've ever been invited to a non-relative barbecue, ever. Yet they're going on around me all the time. All the time. And I've given them, and I've invited non-relatives to my barbecues, and they come, and they eat the filet mignon, and they eat the hamburger, and the hot dogs, and I've never had a reciprocal invitation. And I've done nothing embarrassing. The hardest part of these holidays, though, is the truth of the sunlight, the harshness of the sun, the blessings of the sun, because the sunlight enables us to see the truth of our significant other. When you and I met our significant others, they looked a certain way. It was so compelling that you were willing to throw away your solitude. You were willing to throw away your freedom and independence and decide, you know, I'm going to spend time with this person. Very risky move. For an extrovert, that's not a risky move. An extrovert wants to be with somebody, anybody, rather than being alone. But you and I want to be alone. Our mistress is solitude. That's who we're going to cheat with. We're going to cheat with time alone. We're going to go into a corner and be alone. That's the preference. in the sunlight, we get to see the truth about the person that we're with in the swimsuit, in the bikini. God help you in the Speedos, in the old khakis from Brooks Brothers 28 years ago. That's who you get to see. And then you make a split-second decision. Do I want to still be with this person now that you've seen the truth? Or are you going to pray they go and get the Ozempic? Or are you going to pray and you say, you know what? The personality was never that great, but it was balanced out by the fact that they looked really good in a swimsuit. They looked really good in an evening gown. They looked great in tight jeans. Something made them compelling physically, or you wouldn't be with them. Radio fact, you are not with them for their personality. The personality came quickly, and later the personality is the sustainable element. All of you who love words like sustainable foods, shut up with that, you know, and free range this and natural this. No, I don't care where the cow lives. I just want the milk. I don't want to know anything about the cow's day. Just, you know, when it says locally sourced. Really? Because I've looked around the neighborhood. I don't want anything locally sourced from here. I'd like it to go away. I'd like my food to come from very far away. I don't want to have a mental picture of 10 blocks away that the chicken came from. Don't want to know anything about that. Don't know even know if I want the chicken to be free range. Really? What sort of neighborhoods did they walk into? They can just walk around? Were they harassed by dogs? They just walked around and now we have their eggs? I would like a little better tracking of my eggs than free range. I'd like good neighborhood chicken eggs. Could we get premium? Could I get mainline Philadelphia chicken eggs? Short Hills chicken eggs? Beverly Hills chicken eggs? I don't want free range. We don't know anything about those neighborhoods. Just walking around? But there it is. What the sun does on Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, is it lets us see the truth about who we're with. How is that going for you? How is that working out? Now that you've spent a day and a half with them in a swimsuit, how are you doing? I got a note here. I want to share this with you. I got a Midnight Misfit during the show has sent me an email, and you can call me about this at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, from Karen L. Karen L. sent me a note. I'm sorry, not Karen L. It's, yeah, Karen L. Ready? Walter. I can hear the tone already, like my high school principal. My husband and I have been married for 37 years. Oh, you're our youngest listener. Congratulations. When we married, I weighed 118 pounds. This is a lot of TMI. My husband weighed 185 pounds. Today, I weigh 118 pounds. And my husband weighs 180. He's lost 5 pounds in 37 years of being married to you. We are still in great shape and still love each other more than ever. You are nuts, Karen. Karen, I am nuts, but I'm also right. Walter M. Sterling, every damn night. Extra, extra, extra.
Hear all about it. Strippers on the loose. Strip clubs. Coming up with exciting things is an important part of that industry. And let's just talk about probably the greatest strip club concept, granny grinders. Yep, featuring grandmas doing their dancing. They do a little more jiggling than some of the other gals. They have great specials, too. Bingo and boobs on Tuesdays. Matlock and milkshakes on Fridays. And the increasingly popular No Teeth, No Problem Wednesdays. You can find this wonderful club inside the great state of Oregon, Springfield, Oregon, just to state it clearly. At least this is not pregnant women dancing, which there's a club for that too. If you have an Oedipus complex,
Or perhaps you're a college student who, for whatever reason, gets all aroused over the idea of watching a grandma dance seductively. This is your place. Club owner Buck Jackson, he's only 56. And every dancer, by the way, at Granny Grinders has to be over 65. He says this is the natural evolution of adult entertainment. They promise at Granny Grinders premium entertainment for patrons who like their lap dances with a side of Metamucil. If you can yell bingo while dancing, lady, you've got a gig at Granny Grinders. These people found a need and filled it. Isn't that what running a business is all about? From the champagne room with a side of Geritol, this is Velo Hool, Strippers on the Loose, Sterling every damn night.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
Make any promises, okay? I can't even promise that I won't hurt you in the end. What do you think I can? But up until that point, I will rock your world if you let me.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a radio whiz who proved a little too big for the room in the radio biz. His head overflowed with brilliant ideas to make radio great. And all they could do is hate. This wizard set off on his own, on his epic quest, to make his show the greatest, better than all the rest, better than all the rest.
And now he's back on the radio with his merry crew,
with Velo, Detective Vic, Thea Landon and her smutty books, the Gaffneys, Dave Scott, Florida Stories and all the rest, here on Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Ancient alien theorists discover Sterling every damn night. Ancient astronaut theorists discover Sterling every damn night. Ancient astronaut theorists say, discover Sterling every damn night.
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back. It doesn't occur to any one of you that I got it because I am good at what I do.
So you earned it?
That's right.
I got twice your time on a job. I'm a hell of a detective and I paid my dues. I earned it.
He earned it. And there it is. How many times have you been in situations in the workplace, even maybe with your family, where there's somebody over there who's getting the promotion, getting the money, getting the attention, but not you, even though you have more skill? As somebody who has employed hundreds of people and has worked in the largest and the smallest and the startups and the matures, you name the type of company, I've been associated with it. I'll tell you a secret. The people who are the best at something in a given category, a given department, not necessarily the ones who are going to get promoted. The ones who are going to get promoted, it's a very simple math and a very simple dynamic. The people who are really great at what they do and know it, have no doubt, usually come with some unfortunate traits. They usually come with some unfortunate work habits. Here are the work habits most valued by most employers. You show up. I can't tell you how many times somebody who's great at what they do, they don't show up. Oh, really? Yeah, I had to go to my cousin's birthday. Now I had to take the car in this morning. It was making all kinds of funny noises. I took the car in this morning. But didn't call in. Didn't call in to say, I know I need to be there. If you need me there right now, I will. But I'd like to get my car fixed. Is that okay? That's what you do. Can't tell you how many times people don't do that. They show up. They make sure that they've done everything they need to do before they leave. Hey, is there anything else that needs to be done tonight? You got everything taken care of. Are we okay? Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. That's how you leave. those courtesies, that awareness of the need of your employer will get you promoted more than superior skills. It's the curse of being the great all-night man. At most radio stations, there's an all-night disc jockey or an all-night talk show host. And the worst thing you can do is be a great all-night talk show host or a great all-night disc jockey, because you will never be promoted and you'll never get a daytime show, because to find anybody who can do all nights and shows up and is dependable and is competent is the rarest thing in the world. Because think about it. If you're on from midnight to 6, what are you on? You're on 25% of the broadcast day. 25% of the broadcast day. And you're there alone with all that equipment, that microphone, the power to go on the radio and say whatever the heck you want, and you don't. That's power and value. Now you're going to work on the third shift, the late shift at the hospital, the school, the train station, the bus. You're going to work at the third shift right now. What you don't know is the people you work for, they can't believe you're doing it. They can't believe you're showing up and actually doing it. Are you going to get promoted off that shift? No, you're not. Because what you're doing is incredibly valuable and rare. A person who's in the lobby of the office building, the train station, the bus station, driving the overnight buses, in the hospital, in the ER, the orderly in the ER overnight, you're gold. You're the most valuable person there because no one else will do it. Oh, sure, you can get a surgeon to work overnights in the ER. It's sort of romantic. To get an orderly to work all night in the ER, gold. The firehouse, the police. There's nothing I value more, especially this weekend, than a police officer who takes a picture of what they're looking at right now from their patrol car going into the late shift and sending it to me. I love to see these pictures. It's the best thing. And I've gotten amazing photographs from police officers. Here's the email to send it to. Ready? Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. That's all. With an E, not an I. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Send it to me. I love to see these. With your blessings, I'll post it on Facebook, but I'll never put up your name, because I know if you're working, they don't necessarily want you taking pictures and sending it to wacky talk show hosts. Wacky talk show hosts. Every now and then, like Beethoven, I raise my voice suddenly to wake you up from a stupor. So you can hear my stupid by waking you up from a stupor. That was funny. You're a funny guy, Walter. I'm going to talk in just seconds about an amazing thing that a New York City prosecutor did by abusing their clout with the district attorney to facilitate their divorce. How they got their kids by abusing their power in a divorce. Woman, district attorney. Men never do well in divorce trials, especially when there's custody involved. Men never do well. It's a whole prejudice, a serious prejudice that our country has, which is that a man cannot possibly be as good a father as she can be a mother. That no man can be as good a parent as a woman can be a parent. And that has led to much trouble and much sadness and much grief. Not to mention a lot of lawyer fees. My number is 855-839-1210. I am Walter Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday and every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday and every damn night.
37 past the hour, 37 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling live on a Sunday night on KFBK in Sacramento, Bill White's radio station, always the number one station in Sacramento. That's why we're on it. We're on many, many number one radio stations. That's because they're afraid of me.
Just bring money, money talks. And it's coffee break time at Denison Close, Route 22, Union, New Jersey.
think they look good on my body frame. They look awesome. They look so natural. I feel like I got, for how big they are, I think I have one of the better, like, boob jobs. I really do. They just, because if they were this big and up here, and it wouldn't look good. It wouldn't look natural. That is a look some people like, but I did ask for more naturals.
I'm James from Kansas, and there's more to refurbishing a classic RV than meets the eye. The RV offers lessons for humanity.
James from the AV crew shares his experience rebuilding an RV.
First, it's essential to embrace the fact that an RV is not just a metal box on wheels. An RV is home to moving beauty. When you pass me on the road, you may not realize the complexity of the machine.
James is your new teacher.
An RV is alive. I put fluid in the front and it comes out the back. That's why I wanted to teach this class. Discover what I have learned about RVs. Many people think they can use standard motor oil in an RV. They can, but it misses the point.
Now, your RV can level up with James.
And don't get me talking about the rat's nest you'll find in the fall in your RV.
Meet James, your new teacher, and this is your masterclass.
Sterling on Sunday, Walter M. Sterling, Assistant District Attorney Amanda Goon, conspired in New York to have her husband, a healthcare reporter for the dreaded New York Times, busted. She got her husband busted on trumped-up assault and child abuse charges in 2022 to win custody of their two young children. Here's the bad part. And even coached the kids to lie about their dad's reputed abuse, according to Manhattan federal complaint reviewed by some newspaper. Rather than accept the determination of the responding NYPD officers, this was investigated by New York City cops. They had thoroughly investigated the matter. They don't take these things lightly. However, the defendant in this case, this woman, this assistant district attorney, Amanda Goon, she used her position of influence and authority as a prosecutor to pursue false criminal charges against her husband. The worst part of this story is this horrible person allegedly coached her kids to lie about their dad's reputed abuse. You can make up a lot of crap in a divorce to get what you want in a divorce. But to make up a story that your husband or your wife abused the kids and put that into court testimony and get the kids to say it is the lowest possible thing a parent can do. Imagine compelling your children, coaching your children, scripting your children to trash their father in the worst possible way in court testimony. And the way it plays in a kid's mind, the way that sort of thing plays in a young kid's mind, is for years they will go back and forth in their head thinking, did that happen? Did my daddy do that? Did that happen? Is that why mommy told me to say it? Did I forget it at the time? Am I saying it now because I couldn't repeat it? Is that why she's getting me to say that? There are so many other things that in any given day you and I do that probably wouldn't stand up well in court in a divorce hearing. But to take our kids and train them to trash one of their parents in the most horrendous charge possible, abuse, what does that do? Couple things, far beyond what that terrible woman thought in the New York City assistant district attorney. Because you see, it's worse. The New York City police had investigated this, had investigated her wacky charges, and they went back to the judge and said, none of this is true. We have no evidence of this. And she used her influence as an assistant district attorney in the city of New York to compel it to go forward, to force it into a divorce hearing, to not let it go, rather than the court accepting what the New York City police said, They instead had to deal with this woman's leverage as an assistant district attorney, a fellow member of the court, to trash this New York Times reporter. It gets trickier, doesn't it, when it's a New York Times reporter and the credibility that a New York Times reporter would have in court or in general. And you look at a picture of this guy, this reporter, the father, you can, in fairness, you can kind of tell how big a creep is from their photograph. This guy looks like, you know, a member of the AV crew. That's what he looks like. A member of the AV. It's like his if he gave his kids any trouble, they could kick him. It wouldn't be a problem. But what low life to. It's one thing to slander it's one thing to slander your partner. It's quite something else to drag your children into court and make them lie. In many states and many cities, if you do that, if you compel your kids to lie and you lie about the behavior of your spouse, you automatically don't get your kids. You automatically have lost visitation rights to the kids. But this goes to the endless fact that dads, fathers, men in divorce hearings and in custody hearings are at a way disadvantage, because the assumption was made in court, even though the cop said not true, that this woman was right, that this woman deserved to have her kids. And this was 3 years ago. 3 years ago this happened, and finally it came around where this father was like, I'm not going to sit for this. I'm going to go back into court. I'm going to fight this. And this guy had to spend 3 years fighting for his reputation. But it's worse, because not only did she ruin this man's reputation on some level, not only did she destroy the children's relationship with their daddy, destroy their relationship with her, because as they get older and realize what she did, they're going to hate her more every day. The whole family unit, the whole family name has been ruined. There's nothing worse that you could do than accuse a member of your family of abuse of children. Nothing worse you can say or do, right? But that's a taint on the whole family, because, hey, guess what, lady? You married him. You picked him. And that's who you picked, that he would do this. You couldn't stop it. You couldn't do anything. You're an assistant district attorney. All of them are made to look bad by her apparent lie. It's no fun being a guy in court. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's a live radio show, and I got a phone number. It's 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm happy to talk to you live, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
You know, I've been trying to quit coffee, but it's been a latte harder than I thought it was going to be. You know, I've been trying to quit coffee, but it's been a latte harder than I thought it was going to be.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Thank you.
Hey, for our first Florida... No, thank you, thank you. For our first Florida Story, it's the annual falling of the iguanas. You probably think, Parker, didn't you tell me about this last year and the year before? Yeah, it's sort of like an annual thing. Iguanas, when it gets really cold, they lose bodily function. They're cold-blooded, and they will fall out of trees. And that's not really a big deal unless you're a human being walking under the tree and you can get struck by a fairly large iguana. I find a little extra level of humor here in the fact that this report comes to the National Weather Service. Yes, it's raining iguanas. Is that really a meteorological phenomenon? Is that weather-related, falling iguanas? Raining lizards. That's a pretty Florida story.
Oh, my beer.
Oh, my beer.
My beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Yulee, Florida. In Nassau County, there's a weigh station where a truck pulled in with an animal trailer, and it weighed out okay, but it had expired plates. They check out the driver. He has a suspended license. They check out the animal trailer, and it's a story of some neglected animals. They're all standing in piles of their own feces and urine. They're all undernourished. Some of them have wounds and medical issues that need attention. But check out this list. This is what makes it especially Florida. Animal services found in one medium-sized trailer, 4 horses, 3 miniature horses, 8 dogs, 7 cats, 1 alpaca, and 1 ring-tailed lemur. That's just freakish enough to be a little more Florida than the previous story. But why stop there? Let's take it to the next level.
Wait, Hold my beer.
All right, for our next Florida story, we go to Escambia County, where a man who's suspected on being high on some serious drugs, I don't know if it's bath salt or meth or whatever, but he's walking around traffic without a shirt on, screaming at nobody, sort of talking to himself, and then he pulls on the door handle of a car. It opens, and he tries to pull the driver out. Well, the driver just hits the gas, and it knocks the messed up Florida man over. Well, the drugged up Florida man gets up and he starts running after the car. Well, the guy keeps driving home, but the guy is so hopped up on drugs, he kind of keeps up with the guy. And by the time the cops show up, the guy's already home. He's got the drugged up dude from traffic banging on his door. So the cops tackle him, they try and cuff him, but he gets away. So then the cop's backup shows up, and that's their buddy that has the canine unit. So the dog tackles the drugged up Florida man. And it looks like he has him subdued, so the cops go over there to put the handcuffs on him. But Florida man, with some renewed drug strength, grabs the dog by the neck, tosses it, pushes 2 cops off of him, gets away again. They tase him in the neck. It's one of those stun guns, and the little prongs hit him right in the neck. It shocks him and stops him, but the second they let go of the trigger, he's gone again. And when he rounds the corner, there's another guy there that tackles him Ronnie Lott style. Oh, you're not impressed? That's not peak Florida for you? Okay, I know. It doesn't involve a Walmart or a strip club. Nobody shot a gun. I hear you. All right. Challenge accepted. Hold my beer. Our final Florida story, we're going to Tampa, Florida. We go to the Scores Gentlemen Club. 3 a.m. Business is about to close. At closing time, 2 groups of people start arguing with each other. The argument spills out into the parking lot. The argument escalates into a shooting. The 2 groups of people get in their respective cars, continue shooting each other as they're leaving the parking lot down the highway. The only person that's confirmed to be injured is a man who was sitting across the street from the strip club. There's a Walmart. It goes through the window and hits him in the arm. Now, is that peak Florida or what? Okay, I know. There wasn't any, like, bath salts or meth involved or, like, a Casey Anthony or George Zimmerman. But come on, isn't it close? We didn't make it, did we?
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. Follow me on Twitter at Florida Stories J. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
You didn't tell me I was back. See, I'm really good about those things, not everything else, but those things I just have to know. Welcome, Walter M. Sterling. Every damn night. That's right. Now, if you have the privilege of hearing this show right now, boy, are you lucky. Because if it was another station, you'd be watching the Gold in You, Annuity in You, or Mr. Crypto is Our Friend. Those are the fine. Oh, my favorite is when doctors buy like an hour of time on this station. And, you know, the brain surge. The brain tumor doctor is here to answer your questions about brain tumors. Oh, my gosh. No, stations do that. But this is a live radio show. And no, I don't pay for the time. I get paid for my time. But mostly it's fun, right? Yes, yes.
Just bring money, money talks. And it's coffee break time at Denison Close, Route 22 Union, New Jersey.
Above the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid are 5 further chambers. And these chambers are roofed and floored with granite beams that weigh about 70 tons each. And there are hundreds of them. These 70-ton granite beams have been elevated to a height of more than 350 feet above the ground and carefully and precisely placed in position. It is very hard for archaeologists to explain how that was done using purely leverage and mechanical advantage.
Well, then coming up, you and I are going to talk to Dave Scott, the host of Spaced Out Radio, who always has updates for you and me about UFOs. And I'm here 6 nights a week, not just tonight. I'm here 6 nights a week. Catherine Arthur, 6 nights a week. Beryl Kravitz, 6 nights a week. My Midnight Misfit, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, we're here 6 nights a week. And to hear it, all you have to do is download the Audacy app, AUD. Best company, worst spelled name, worst name I've ever heard of. A-U-D-A-C-Y. The Odyssey app, and you can hear Sterling every damn night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Live. Streaming. And for some reason, all of these companies are far more interested in the streaming numbers than they are the real numbers, which is listening to me in the 18-wheeler going across the country. That would be the real number. Because you, in the truck, with the satellite radio and the CB radio and all your buddies, you can listen to anything you want. And when a truck driver chooses this show out of 100 other shows right now in their cab, that's the greatest privilege I've got. What an honor that is. Coming up, we will also discover what a sex expert has learned about a woman's vagina and how the myths of the vagina are unfortunate, and you and I will have the truth. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I will bust the myths about a woman's vagina. But first, Dr. Dave Weatherman. Dave, a rumor has it that you were having trouble with your phones. Is this true?
No, we're good. We're good. For some reason, sometimes when I get called to do your show, the first time they call, it sounds really scrambly and scratchy, so they have to call me back, and it sounds nice and clear the second time around. But we are good to go, my friend.
Now, it says here that a shocking UFO discovery has scientists sounding the alarm, with one expert warning, we don't have the control we thought we had. That's according to Fox News. We're learning that we don't understand what's in our skies, what's in our waters. And there's something going on that's essentially bigger than us, according to Julia Mossbridge. Do you know Julia Mossbridge?
I've never heard of her before, but I can tell you this. This is more fear-mongering and pandering from people within the UFO / UAP community on the government inside, because they don't talk to the real researchers who are digging it. They're talking about the governmental side, because we're just a bunch of tinfoil hat-wearing space cadet conspiracy theorists. That being said, when you have people who look at this part-time, because this is a very complicated story, and I'm not ripping mainstream journalism on this at all, but when you look at the story part-time and you take a headline and you just kind of get a weekend staffer looking into this who might be looking at it for the first time and absolutely in awe and amazement, it's easy to fall for the threat narrative that is being portrayed, that the skies now are not safe. We don't know what these projects are. You know, we don't know if there are aliens here or not. And this is where, you know, I ask your listeners and others to actually tune into some of these great UFO podcasts out there that are actually doing yeoman's work in trying to get the real story out. They may not have the big names that Fox News or anybody might be able to get, but at least they're getting people who are really working hard trying to show that this isn't a scary story. It's an unbelievably awesome story. But if you go with the threat narrative, that's only going to lead to more of a mess.
Would one of those leading podcasts be yours?
It could be. Yeah. But there are dozens out there. You know,
Yeah, but I only care about deepspaceradio.com. Deepspaceradio.com on YouTube is where you can hear the best ones. These are broadcasts that Dave has done in Canada, coast to coast every night. He's a great broadcaster. He covers this better than anybody. He actually flirts with journalism, and I have a lot of respect for you, Dave. Now, I know that when you and I talk, you have thoughts about things you'd like to cover. So please, sir, go ahead.
Well, it's actually going to tie into what you just asked me, to be blunt. Representative Tim Burleson, a congressman who is very interested in the UFO story, he actually had an eyewitness. He came out on video saying that he had an eyewitness who had viewed the Tic Tac encounters. Now, the Tic Tac encounters became famous in 2017, where allegedly in 2004, these Tic Tac-like shaped objects, so you know the candy Tic Tac, that's why they call them the Tic Tacs, were actually seen by a U.S. aircraft carrier that scrambled a bunch of F-18s to go look at these things, and they said they were not of this world. The pilots, including David Fravor, Commander David Fravor, who led the charge, got close to these, said he's never seen anything like it. It's like it was from right out of this world, to quote him. Now, fast forward 8 years later, a person has come out. Burleson did not reveal his name, but he ended up saying that this source within the government stated that these things are man-made. Now, I learned about the Tic Tac being man-made from one of my insiders that I have a couple of years ago, and we discussed and we debated it, and I actually sent him a message earlier today saying, hey, you might want to come on the show and talk about this. He goes, oh, great. Now you want to talk to me about this subject. Well, we talked about it, and he had a good laugh that nobody wanted to believe him, but these Tic Tacs now are apparently from Lockheed Martin. These Tic Tacs were seen doing...
Really?
Yes. Yes. According to Burleson's witness, Lockheed Martin had created these, and they were seen doing insurmountable G-force moves that would kill a human being. We're talking going from 80,000 feet down to 10 feet above sea level in under a second. We're talking 90-degree turns. We're talking high speed, where 1 second they're in one location, and 2 seconds later they're 40 miles away. And then come back. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. Now, the big question is this a cover-up? Because there are two sides to every story. Is this a cover-up, or is Lockheed Martin that advanced that they are absolutely able to see the future? Now, I have been told Lockheed Martin Skunk Works is actually 100 to 150 years ahead of what we see technologically flying today. And if there is any truth to my sources saying that, boy, are they hiding some secrets, number one.
What I find shocking is this Tic Tac story broke about 2.5 years ago, where real Navy pilots saw the Tic Tacs in the sky moving in ways they weren't supposed to be moving. Only logical conclusion was that they were UFOs. They went on official shows. They were interviewed by real journalists. Well, Why is the source, the truth about those being revealed now, and made all of these pilots, all the people involved, suffer with indecisiveness, confusion, not sure, but have their credibility questioned? If this was Lockheed Martin, why didn't they just say, "Hey, that's ours"?
Well, because that's how segmented and segregated the defense system is. Current pilots today are not going to be there, likely flying in 10 to 15 years. So the Nimitz incident happened in 2004. The majority, if not all of those fighter pilots back then, are retired, have moved on. Maybe they've advanced in their careers within the military, but they sure don't have their wings to fly fighter jets anymore. Or they've moved right out of the Navy. And so when you have these incursions happening, the people are not in the need to know, okay? And that's the big problem with this. They're not in a need to know. And if they were in a need to know, they would know what these things are. They would know they would have been in their training area off of Catalina Island. So it's easier for national security and to hide behind the national security state if they go and tell people, oh, we don't know what they are. Maybe they are aliens. Can I please add something to that, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Okay. A good friend of mine is a guy named Kevin Day. Kevin Day was the radar operator on the USS Princeton the day that happened. He is the one who recommended to his admiral and his captain to send up the F-18s to intercept these things. Kevin Day, because of that incident, he was a 19-year veteran, and it ruined his career to the point where he had some major health issues because of it and still suffers because of it. And he believes that it was sub-alien type craft that he was witnessing on radar. Now, if this comes out that it is Lockheed Martin, what happens to a person like him? Where he literally lost his career and was bullied because of this incident due to this potentially fake UFO that was actually part of Lockheed Skunk Works. Like, this is damning evidence if true.
Yes, it is damning evidence. It's true. And the arrogance of thinking, well, we can let these Navy pilots, all these official people walk around going, gee, I don't know what it is. I wish I knew, but it was real. I'm sure I saw it. And to let that just go on and on and on and let those people suffer with their credibility in their community is a crappy thing to do. Dave Scott is the host of Spaced Out Radio. Hear him at Spaced Out Radio on YouTube and spacedoutradio.com. Dave, always fun. Thank you for being on the big show, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Now, join lesbians in space.
Tell me I'm pretty first.
You're pretty.
What's pretty about me?
How you're never able to wash your body glitter all the way off.
Okay, slut, kiss me.
Your heart!
Sterling Shop!
Hey, Texas people. Cedar Hill, Texas, they're a home of a wonderful Walmart convenience store. And you say, well, Walmart doesn't have convenience stores. Oh, you could not be more wrong. In fact, attached to any Walmart gas station is a convenience store, just like the 7-Eleven or the Quickie Mart or Wawa or whatever brand it is. And yeah, there was a dispute that happened. Apparently, injuries involved. Walmart cashier gets into a brawl with a customer over $1.06. Yeah, $1.06. It was an argument over $1.06. In the Walmart world, it's not called cashiers. It's called associates. Fox 4 in Texas, get it right, please. This associate didn't like the way they were being spoken to. Ann Flores, the Walmart associate, Ann Flores, the customer, said $1.06 ended up changing her life. And apparently, not for the better. Apparently, the associate wanted the money placed into her hand and not on the counter. Apparently, Ms. Flores has not heard about obsessive-compulsive disorder. There are a lot of people, good people, your neighbors, who have OCD. And a simple request like that should be easy to follow. Getting into a punch-out with a Walmart associate, yeah, that's not a good idea. And Walmart, on their hands, they fired some attorneys because Ms. Flores is suing, claiming that she has a head injury. Walmart, the largest corporation in the world, the most sued company in the world. It's true. Facts are facts. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling every damn night.
Here he comes every damn night. It's Walter Sterling and he's always right.
It's very hard for an extrovert to understand a person like you and me who I don't want any friends. I need friends who can cross the barrier, the moat that I have around me, and cross it and ignore the moat and just show up and be my friend. That's a short list. But you do that, you won't have a better friend. This just happened. Little River is 20 miles away from Myrtle Beach. And there was a shooting that took place there today. At least 10 people were taken to the hospital amid chaos during a concert at Black Bike Week in Atlantic Beach, which is roughly 9 miles away from Little River. This is near Myrtle Beach, 20 miles away from Myrtle Beach. And 11 victims have been taken to the hospital. At least police are investigating a mass shooting in the South Carolina beach town. 11 victims have been taken to the hospital. The bullets rang out in Little River near Watson Avenue today at around 9:30 tonight, according to the police. Police and the county fire department rushed to the scene as video shows several emergency crews swarming the area. Police said that they received reports of several others being taken to the hospital in personal vehicles, not in an ambulance. Community members are urged to stay away from the area as it is still an active scene. They believe that the shooting was an isolated incident, no further risk. They shared that in an 11 p.m. update. What do we know about who did this? Let's see. The music was paused at this concert, but the event continued until the festival closing time at 3 a.m. It's tonight. Let's see. Yeah, I'm sure what it'll be is an isolated person, an individual shooter, like that horror show in Washington, D.C. this week, where two almost newlyweds were murdered at the Israeli museum, the Jewish museum. Again, by an individual. There's a common trait to the individuals who commit these mass murders. Almost never a minority. These tend to be men in their 20s. Men in their 20s who live at home, don't have a job, had a job, part-time job. They're not in the military. They are between being a coveted person in society, which is somebody going to school. Our whole society protects those who are in school. It is an elevated position. It is a role. Women are coveted and have a role in our society always because they can make children. But a single man doesn't have a job, isn't married, living at home, has no role. They are isolated. They have no path. And when left alone long enough, a single man who already has a lot of problems is going to pursue adventure. They're going to pursue excitement in all of its forms because they are dangerous. And the reason they are dangerous is because they have no role. Our culture is built on, what do? Where do you work? You're in school, great, you have a kid, you're married. Okay, if you can't answer any of those questions, you are moved to the side, and you're going to look for ways to participate, and ultimately you may come to the conclusion that the ways to participate in our culture are dangerous. Because people who have no role will seek excitement in all of its forms. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I have an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every one of them. Website, waltersterlingshow.com. It's Sunday night. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my award-winning book, Disintegration. Alum shoved his door open with such force, he wouldn't have been surprised if the knob made an indentation in the wall. He didn't care. Vlad had cleared him medically, and Zedek sent him away after another tirade of anger and disappointment. His own frustration raged through him, in need of an outlet. Don't blame the door. It didn't do anything to you. Bro, having also been diagnosed only with minor scrapes, stood in the hallway behind him. He turned around. What are you doing here? I wasn't aware I still needed an invitation. She raised an eyebrow. I know you're upset. We all are. I had her, Ro. I was right there. Callum kicked at one of the chairs while she entered and closed the door behind her. I saw her. I was so close. I know. He glared at her. You're the one who ordered me out. What, you were going to stay in there and choke to death? She snapped. His fingers opened and closed with restless energy. I should have gone after her. Do you really think those were the last of her security measures? Your scientifically engineered corpse would be rotting amidst the wreckage for the rest of eternity. Callum knew she was right, but he couldn't relinquish his ire. I didn't realize how much I wanted her dead until she got away from me a second time. She nodded. Trust me, we all feel the same way. You don't. He faced away from her. She did this to me. She took everything from me, everything important. Do you know what that's like? Yeah, actually, I do. Maybe not those exact circumstances, but I know how it feels to have everything ripped away in a heartbeat. He didn't press for details. His boot collided with the chair again, this time toppling it. She destroyed my family, my body, my life. She turned me into this monstrous creature I don't even recognize. Ro put her hand on his shoulder. You're not a monster. He shrugged it off, scowling. One opinion does not change general fact. Fine, believe what you will. She sidled in front of him so he could no longer avoid eye contact. You're angry, and I get it. I'll allow you the irrational moment. Gee, thanks ever so much. So, be pissed off at the world, she continued. Be angry with Tanith because she killed your loved ones and tore off your arm, leg, and half your face in the process. Hate Zedek for his pompous attitude and condescending remarks. And hey, go ahead and take it out on me when all I ever did was try to divert your attention from the messed up world we live in every now and then and make our shared existence less miserable. Callum silently seethed. There are only so many pieces of furniture you can flip over, and you look like you're going to burst a blood vessel or several. Something's gotta give, so come on. Ro walked up to him and shoved him backward. Do what you need to do. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my book, Disintegration, which can be found at Amazon and at thealandon.com. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts, you can go to patreon.com/thealandon, and don't forget you can share all your thoughts with me at smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's keep going. He recovered from his stumble and stared at her in disbelief. I don't know if you want me to hit you or screw you. Doesn't matter to me. She crossed her arms, standing her ground. Just remember, though, I give as good as I get for both. You really are crazy, you know? he said, shaking his head. There is something wrong with you. Find me one sane person in this place. He turned away from her for the second time. Red-hot fury flowed through his veins, and he tried to calm the pulsing waves. This isn't like me, Ro, he said. I don't know what happened. None of us do, she replied. But at least anger can be channeled into something productive. Self-pity isn't going to get you anywhere. He didn't know whether her words were intended to fan the subsiding flames, and his budding repose was short-lived. So, now you're telling me what to do again? He said, whirling around. You're no better than the rest of them. I've never told you what to do. I've just offered suggestions here and there. She stepped closer to him, jaw clenched. And if you keep flinging around accusations like that, then I'll start getting angry. Her face was less than a foot away from his. Callum's emotions jumbled together in a violent hurricane as he looked over her shimmering eyes, moistened lips, and heaving chest. He didn't know what to do with her. Part of him believed he never would. This is wrong. He picked her up and tossed her onto the bed as if she weighed no more than a feather. Ro didn't say anything, but one side of her mouth curled into her endearing, exasperating smirk. When he knelt between her legs, she dragged him down, pressing her lips against his. She tugged at the hem of his t-shirt. He pulled it off before wrestling her tank top up over her head. The strap caught in one of her earrings, and she yelped. He jerked it free, paying no attention to her outcry, and reached for her pants. Rage melded with lust until he didn't know which was which. She had been correct. Something had to give before he imploded on himself. He grabbed the waistband of her pants and yanked hard. The khaki cloth tore easily, ripped to shreds by his strong fingers. She watched him toss the remains to the side, her eyes wide. They closed as she rolled her hips up to meet his touch. Her thong provided even less resistance than her clothing. Her lips parted as she writhed against him. Under normal circumstances, he would have been willing to play her games and tease her until she begged. Tonight, a primal need consumed him. He was a slave to urges beyond his control. Callum unzipped his pants and pushed them down, not bothering to fully remove them. Oh, I think I'd better stop here before I get in trouble. But you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my award-winning book, Disintegration, which is available at Amazon and at thealandon.com. If you'd like to hear some explicit excerpts that don't cut off, you can go to patreon.com/thealandon. And don't forget, you can always share your thoughts with me at smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night. Now, 4 good minutes.
Walter M. Sterling every damn night. Jeff Kerr is the PETA Foundation Chief Legal Officer. PETA has filed a first-of-its-kind First Amendment lawsuit against the National Institutes of Health and National Institute of Mental Health. Tell me about this lawsuit, Jeff Kerr.
The lawsuit grew out of our work trying to learn more about the monkeys who are imprisoned and tortured in the National Institute of Health laboratory of Elizabeth Murray. People know that the First Amendment to the Constitution protects the freedom of speech, but what's lesser known is that it also protects a right to listen or a right to receive communications from speakers, from those who are communicating. And what we found through public records requests, we were able to get hold of video of the macaque monkeys that are being tortured in Murray's laboratory. And it's undeniable, it's scientifically undeniable, that these macaques are communicating about what they're enduring, the trauma they're enduring in this laboratory. And so we reached out to NIH and said, we want a live audiovisual feed so that we can see and receive the macaque communications in real time and not just when you choose to video them. NIH refused to do it, so we were forced to go to court to seek these communications.
There's a word you keep using, which is macaque, and that is a type of monkey, a breed of monkey. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Macaque monkeys are unfortunately among the most abused and used in experimentation. What we discovered is that Murray is using crude and invasive methods to damage the monkey's brains. So first, she'll immobilize each monkey's head in a sort of a vice-like device, carves out a section of the skull, and injects toxins into the brain to cause permanent and traumatic brain damage. And in some instances, she even will suction out or burn out portions of the brain.
To me, the biggest shock isn't listening or talking to monkeys. To me, the biggest shock is that this is still going on. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, and unfortunately, she's not alone. Taxpayer-funded labs like this, whether at NIH or all over the country, are still going on. And every single year, NIH, your National Institutes of Health, wastes tens of billions of dollars on useless and harmful animal experiments without any benefit to human health.
And how do I find out how the lawsuit turns out? How do I find out more about this? And is there a way in which we can support you and help you?
Absolutely. The most direct way, go to PETA.org. That's PETA.org. Your listeners can see our lawsuit there and learn more about it. They can get involved. Contact their congresspeople, contact their senators, contact the NIH, and demand that money be removed from animal experiments and that it be directed to non-animal methods that are superior and are actually going to help human health. Every card, every letter, every email really does make a difference.
Jeff Kerr, PETA Foundation Chief Legal Officer, bringing us up to date on a very important lawsuit to save the monkeys and to put an end to crappy experiments that were never necessary to begin with. And I thank you for being on Sterling every damn night.
A paid partnership, pre-recorded with PETA.
Hello, I'm Walter Sterling.
A show is a show, as we all know, but there's one show on the radio that definitely does not blow. It's Sterling every damn night. Turn on the show on your radio. You'll laugh so hard, you'll start to glow. They ought to pay him lots of dough. It's Sterling every damn night. Dom Giordano yaks and yaks and wastes the time of day. But Walter Sterling never talks unless he has something to say. So
Sterling Every Damn Night, I'm James Parker. Welcome to Florida Story. A Florida HOA hires a tow truck to take cars that are illegally parked. Here's the problem. Can you be illegally parked in your own driveway? Well, according to the HOA, sure. They have all kinds of rules and regulations. And if you have a wheel that's out in the yard, then they consider that parking in your grass and you get towed. If you parallel park in front of your house, but your car is facing into oncoming traffic instead of with the flow of traffic, you're getting towed. HOA also gives these people speeding tickets in their own neighborhood. Dude, I am not celebrating the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO. And anyway, then there's no but to that. There's no follow-up. I will say, though, I am surprised this hadn't happened to an HOA president before. Or maybe it hasn't. It just didn't make news.
But if you guys think that the healthcare CEO has annoyed and ticked off people in America, the HOAs all across this beautiful nation have probably caused more heartburn, anger, and pain than the United Health CEO.
Hold my beer.
This one comes from Sarasota. There's a 52-year-old Florida man. He got in a rental car that's listed under a woman's name and took off. Now, I think that the man and woman know each other. He just didn't have permission to take her car, so it's listed as a stolen car. And then one that I don't get is he gets pulled over, and they're, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why did you steal this car? He's like, well, hey, I'm a Florida man. I'm from Sarasota. I'm headed to Mar-a-Lago because I want to have a chat with Donald Trump. That's all. He just loves the president. That's all. Why do people even say that? Why do they think that's an excuse? Did he think that they were going to say, oh, I'm sorry, you want to go see the president? Well, carry on in your stolen car, Mr. Florida man.
Hold my beer.
In Spring Hill, Florida, the sheriff's office got a call. It was a missing kid report, but not a missing human child, not a missing dog, not a missing cat, not even missing goat, you know, like a literal kid. Someone was missing their baby kangaroo. Their baby kangaroo was missing. And then they have a picture of the baby kangaroo. And now all of a sudden, I want a baby kangaroo. I have to get a bigger yard then. Mom looks like she might be delicious. Can I eat a kangaroo?
Hold my beer.
Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Email waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com.